5 p.m. on Wednesday, once again, time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well.
Yes, I am.
To prove that time marches on. Boy, it was about 5 or 6 years ago when we had this idea of starting this series, which we called the Alternative Top 40. Figured 500 albums that never made the top 40 that deserved to would make a really fun list. So we compiled that and put it all together. I figured right there at 500 albums, if we do one show a week, we got 10 years of shows right there. But then we basically mucked it up by deciding to include another 500 albums that did make the top 40 and do them all in chronological order. So now we've got 1,000 albums to cover. We started in chronological order. We still are continuing in chronological order, but we started in 1964. And here we are now, 7 years into it. And we haven't even quite gotten 10 years yet. We've gone from 1964 to January of 1972. Now, there's a reason for that. I mean, the early mid-70s era was amazing for albums. And so much had changed in such a short amount of time. And it's a lot of fun to cover them. Now, today's album is one that actually fits onto the alternative top 40. It stalled at number 53. That's the highest that it ever charted on the album charts after being released in January of 1972. But it's definitely a significant album. Some people call it Saturate Before Using. I am one of those some people who call it that. It was Jackson Browne's debut album. And it was designed to look like one of those submersible water bottles. If you were like a camper or something, it would be very dry and it would maybe get hot. So it would basically meant for you to submerge it, which would allow the liquid inside to cool once it was saturated and making the water potable for you to drink.
Oh, okay.
And he just came up with the idea because he happened to be on the phone. One was hanging on his wall and he's talking with the album designer. And he goes, well, what do you think it should be? And he goes, well, how about we make it look like a water bottle? Like, you know, like this portable. Because when, you know, when it's empty and you bang it, it's square. It's about 12 inches square. Uh-huh. So when you fill it up and like it's got that leathery look to it, like animal skin.
Right.
It is animal skin. So they were going to go for it. But the thing is, these bags say, you know, have instructions on them that say saturated before using. And they said, well, who's ever going to think that that's the name of the album? That's ridiculous. Well, everybody thought that was the name of the album. Even his record company thought that that was the name of the album. When it came out on CD, they put Saturate Before Using on the binder. So, you know, so yeah, it became the name of the album. Now, a singer-songwriter trend really began to take hold in the early 70s. You can certainly give a huge amount of the credit to Carole King for suddenly going solo, being one of the best songwriters of the 60s for pop hits. She had one of the biggest solo albums in the early 70s with Tapestry. And on the male side, I guess you would be able to point at James Taylor for having such a huge amount of influence on the trend. But there's one artist who probably he took the whole movement and just seemed to represent exactly what the singer-songwriter thing was. It was Jackson Browne. At this point in time, meaning up until 1972, before this album came out, he had been a songwriter. He was writing songs for all sorts of people, and he was doing great. I mean, he was actually giving other people hit records, or at least popular records, and everybody more or less presumed that he would end up being just a professional songwriter. People who covered him were, well, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, although he was a member of the band for a while at that point in time. But Tom Rush, Nico, Greg Allman, Joan Baez, the Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, and the Byrds were all recording
bands.
Jackson Browne songs. But he couldn't get his own recording contract until Elektra finally decided to give him a chance. David Geffen was a personal friend. This is before he was David Geffen the billionaire. He was only David Geffen the multimillionaire. And Geffen was trying to help him get a recording contract. For some reason, it was hard. And Geffen eventually said, you know what? Screw it. I'll just do it myself. I'll start my own label. So he started Asylum Records. Jackson Browne was the first one signed. It more or less started as a boutique label for Jackson Browne. The Eagles followed soon after that. And before you knew it, Asylum Records was one of the most enriching of record labels in the United States of America. Now part of the WEA machine, the Warner Elektra Asylum triumvirate. Geffen did quite well with his idea to try to help his friend Jackson by giving him a record label. But let's get to the album. Let's play the opening track. The thing about this album, it's such a wonderful album because there's a real deep sensitivity to it. On just about every song, you can feel like emotion bleeding out of his pores. Although he sounds very self-contained, he never gets emotional. You know that he's getting very, very introspective on just about every track. So let's start with the opening song called Jamaica Say You Will on American Ed Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Jamaica was the lovely one. I played her well as we lay in the tall grass where the shadows fell. Hiding from the children so they would not tell. We would stay there till her sister rang the evening bell. Jamaica, say help me find a way to fill these empty hours. Say you will come again tomorrow, the daughter of a captain on the rolling seas. She would stare across the water from the trees. Time he was home, he held her on his knees and said the next time they would sail away just where they please. Jamaica, say you will help me find a way to fill these lifeless sails and stay. Ships can find the sea. Was a comfort and a mercy through and through. Hiding from this world together, next thing I knew, they had brought her things down to the bay. What could I do? Jamaica, say you will help me find a way. Sails, and we will sail until our waters have run dry.
I like the way that the album kicks off with something like a fairy tale love affair. That it was partially inspired by the truth. He was living in California at that time, really close to the Pacific Ocean. And there was this beautiful girl that worked with, you know, in a garden that was nearby. And he would just see her and he basically was, you know, was making up stories about her, fantasy stories. About one day she was going to go out to sea with her father and then leave him behind. And, you know, but it plays beautifully. And
who knows where inspiration's going to strike.
And the song was already, if you were a fan of the Byrds, you might have heard the song already because the Byrds had released it before Jackson Browne did. It was on their album, Byrd Maniacs. So there's one example, like I said, of Browne being able to get his songs distributed and recorded by relatively famous artists. And he is now coming into his own. This next song was new. And it's called A Child in These Hills, another rather beautiful song from the album that I said some call Saturate Before Using on American Radio 90.3 WHPC. Here's Jackson Browne. Child in These Hills by Jackson Browne from his debut album. Before I play the third song, Heidi, I should maybe catch up a little bit on the early part of his life to convey some of the emotion of what's the content of the next song. He was born like, I guess they call it an army brat if you move around a lot when your father's in the military. So he was born in Heidelberg, Germany. But when he was still a kid, he ended up, moving to San Encino near Los Angeles. And he grew up around there, high school and everything else. And he started singing in folk clubs while he was still like in 10th and 11th grade as a young kid.
Wow.
And by 1966, he joined the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And he was barely, I don't even know if he was 18 yet. He was young. Now, after a short spell with them and a couple of other bands as well, he moved to Greenwich Village, where I guess all songwriters, moved in the 60s. And he ended up quickly becoming a staff writer for Elektra Records.
Wow.
And this was before his 18th birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is what helped to get his songs,
He's following his calling.
Exactly. Now, he while he was in Greenwich Village, this is like the Summer of Love and around that time, he ended up backing Tim Buckley and Nico of the Velvet Underground. They became lovers around that time, and she put out her debut album, Chelsea Girl, and put one of his songs on the album. So it's almost at this point like he's a veteran, and he's barely 18. It's rather incredible. So she records the song These Days, and in 1968, though, they break up, and then he returns to Los Angeles, where he forms another folk band, and he meets Glenn Frey and the Eagles and all those guys. And eventually, he starts... he becomes some sort of an advisor while he's in Greenwich Village before he came back with his friends named Greg Copeland and Adam Saylor. I think Adam was a friend of Greg's who drove to New York with Jackson Browne. And they had basically worked together where they were talking about the music scene and writing articles and such or something like that.
Right.
And Adam continued to travel. And Jackson went back to California, but they stayed in touch. And then suddenly he gets word that Adam jumped off of the roof of a hotel.
Oh, my goodness.
Somewhere in India. And so he writes this beautiful song about basically the state of life and death and whether or not he could even begin to accept the fact that he would have committed suicide. And of course, with his name being Adam, that automatically plays into the poetry of the song to some extent. So figure out the rest for yourself as you listen to the song. It's a rather sad one, very much like, I guess it portrays Jackson Browne's modus operandi around this time. It's called Song for Adam on American Ed Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Now the story's told that Adam jumped, but I'm thinking that he fell. Together we went traveling as we received the call. His destination, India, and I had none at all. But I still remember laughing with our backs against the wall. So free of fear, we never thought that one of us might fall. I sit before my only candle, but it's so little light to find my way. Now this story unfolds before my candle, which is shorter every hour as it reaches for the day. Well, I feel just like a candle in a way. I guess I'll get there, but I wouldn't say for sure. Parted, we were laughing still as our goodbyes were said, and I never heard from him again as each our lives we led, except for once in someone else's letter that I read, until I heard the sudden word that a friend of mine was dead. I sit before my only candle, like a pilgrim sits beside the way. Now this journey appears before my candle as a song that's growing fainter the harder I play, till I fear before I end away. But I guess I'll get there, though I wouldn't say for sure. Though Adam was a friend of mine, I did not know him long. And when I stood myself beside him, I never thought I was as strong. Still it seems he stopped his singing in the middle of his song. Well, I'm not the one to say I know, but I'm hoping he was wrong. I'm holding out my only candle, though it's so little light to find my way. Now this story's been laid beneath my candle, and it's shorter every hour as it reaches for the day. Yes, I feel just like a candle in a way. I hope I get there, but I never pray
when I was a just barely a teenager is when I was listening to this album. And you could just imagine the flood of emotions that would go through you if you're sitting in your room by yourself and you're hearing this guy singing these really, like
oh. You were really in touch with your emotions. Let me just say that, first of all.
Well, this, I mean, it would just, it could wreck you. And I think that that's what the singer...
I didn't know grief like this.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I did either, but I mean, I was able to touch it through what I was hearing. I mean, you could, a good songwriter can make you feel it. I believe that that's what was happening. And I mean, even his biggest hit, which we're about to play, Doctor My Eyes, was a top 10 hit, went to number 8, and it would be 10 years until he had another top 10 single with Somebody's Baby. But that's a different time, different place, different writer as far as I'm concerned. But you'll hear Graham Nash and David Crosby singing background vocals, and Jesse Ed Davies playing the electric guitar. But this song is another song that was originally a really dark, depressing song about a guy who was basically way old before his time, burned out, and not sure if he was even capable of going on with life because it was so miserable and awful. But the musicians came in, and the musicians began to play with it a little bit, and it forced him to rethink the song lyrically. So he took out the most depressing bits, and he left it so that it was at least a little bit ambiguous. And it was that ambiguity, I think, that made it work. Although it might have a slightly dark theme, it's still Rather clever as a hit single. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here's Jackson Browne with Doctor My Eyes.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my across the sea, no man can measure.
We just heard the hit track, Doctor My Eyes, followed by the song called From Silver Lake, which ends side one. So I've got to flip the record over now, so to speak.
We got it right here.
Yeah, on the turntable. Yeah, there's the vinyl.
Yeah.
My original album.
With the canvas cover.
Yeah, it's more canvas. I said animal skin, but that wouldn't make sense if you were going to put water in it. So it's a canvas cover that needed to be saturated to work, I think, because the fabric would swell or something. I don't know. I'm not a camper. Well, I mean, this album coming out in 1972, this is like, you know, they didn't call it the me decade for nothing. When you realize how Jackson Browne, I mean, his subject matter is really his own inside, his own insides, his own thoughts, his own, you know, personal means of expression. And this next song, I think is, I love side two. I think side two is the best, is by far the better side of the album. And I love the way it starts with a very simple, beautiful acoustic song called Something Fine. On American Net Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
The papers lie there helplessly in a pile outside the door. I tried and tried, but I just can't. Remember what they're for. The world outside is tugging like a beggar at my sleeve. Oh, that's much too old a story to believe. And you know that it's taken its share of me. Even though take such good care of me. Now you say Morocco, and that makes me smile. I haven't seen Morocco for a long, long while. The dreams are rolling down across the places in my mind. And I've just had a taste of something fine. The future hides and the past just slides. England lies between, floating in a silver mist, so cold and so clean. And California's shaking like a angry child will, who has asked for love and is unanswered still. And you know that I'm looking back carefully, 'cause I know that there's still something there for me. But you said Morocco, and you made me smile, and it hasn't been that easy for a long, long while. Looking back into your eyes, I saw them really shine, giving me a taste of something fine, something fine. Morocco, I know you'll go in style. I may not see Morocco for a little while, but while you're there, I was hoping you might keep it in your mind to save me just a taste of something fine.
That was just definitely something in the air around this time. I mean, it was my high school years when I really began to get into Jackson Browne in a deep way. And I was not alone. I mean, every one of my high school friends was totally besotted with the man, my male and female. And we even attempted to emulate him. I'm a few years back, Heidi, I found one of my old boxes that I would keep my old papers and notes in and stuff like that from around that era. And I discovered a few sets of Jackson Browne inspired, deeply sensitive lyrics that were written by a hockey player friend of mine back then. By the way, two noted party, $1,000 in small bills and a plain wrapper will make them vanish once again. But... because I mean,
all it's, concerned parties.
We all wanted to do this, but not all of us could, obviously. One of the more upbeat songs on the album, another favorite of mine, this is called Under the Falling Sky on American Net Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Warm and lovely mystery, fire smiling through. Before this moment fades away, I want to know you. I got lightning in my pocket, thunder in my shoe. Have no fear, I got something here I want to show you. Hey, low under the falling sky, easily we will lie while I bring it to you. It's a low road, a high wire going from me to you. And in your eyes the distance left is closing. I got a feeling in my oceans, blood underneath my skin, that into your bright fields this prison is opening. Bring it to you. Our shadows wake each day, though they don't know why. They hope and try, live and die. So leave them in their frozen world. Come and be my lover. If only for one stolen moment, we will live forever. Forever. Hey, warm and lovely. can no longer hold my desire. Just abandon your sad history and meet me in the fire. There are angels wait to take us higher and higher, higher and higher. Though under the falling sky, easily we will lie while I bring it to you.
Yeah, this is where the album for me really takes off on side two.
Yeah, that was a really unusual pairing of musicians, not the same ones that are on all the other tracks, is it?
Yeah, it's Albert Lieb is playing guitar on that. You have the drummer, Jim Gordon, playing organ.
Surprise!
The guy that wrote the Coda for Layla. So there's a lot that's happening there. This next song, talk about sleepers. This next song, I think, is the sleeper of the album. It's called Looking Into You, and I think it's stunningly profound. The lyrics, basically about going back to a house that you moved out of. And you're getting all emotional about it. And when I hear this song, I feel as though it's me that it's happened. Like when I go back to like where my parents once lived and the feelings that would, you know, that would basically overcome you at that moment. Anyway, on American Radio 90.3 WHPC from Jackson Browne's debut album, this song is called Looking Into You.
Into a house I once lived in, around the time I first went on my own, when the roads were as many as the places I had dreamed of, and my friends and I were one. Now the distance is done and the search has begun. I've come to see where my beginnings have gone. Oh, the walls and the windows were still standing, and the music could be heard at the door, where the people who kindly endured my odd questions asked if I came very far. And when my silence replied, they took me inside, where their children sat playing on the floor. Well, we spoke of the changes that would find us farther on, and it left me so warm and so high. But as I stepped back outside to the gray morning sun, I heard that highway whisper inside, "Are you ready to fly?" And I looked into the faces all passing by. It's an ocean that will never be filled, and the house that grows older and finally crumbles, that even love cannot rebuild. It's a hotel at best, you're here as a guest. You ought to make yourself at home while you're waiting for the rest. Well, I looked into the dream of the millions that one day the search will be through. Now here I stand at the edge of my embattled illusions, looking into you. Had shown how the road remains alone. Now I'm looking in my life for the truth that is my own. Well, I looked into the sky for my anthem, and the words and the music came through. But words and music will never touch the beauty that I've seen. That's true.
I mean, obviously, Jackson Browne would go on to do some incredibly fine work. Considered one of the greatest songwriters in the world, according to Rolling Stone magazine. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But when this record came out, people weren't treating him as such. And yet in retrospect, looking back at this album, this is one of the best albums, to my mind, that more or less takes two elements, like a youthful element of him being that young and trying to come to terms with his own thoughts, and yet sounding world-weary at the same time. It's an amazing tightrope to walk, and he does it really well. And speaking of tightropes, you know, I've got very little time left and two more songs to play. So I'll say this. The next song, called Rock Me on the Water, has a gospel title. But it's an irreligious gospel song, so to speak. You know, but it works. We'll play that, and then we'll close with my opening farewell. What a great name for the last song of a debut album, right? So thanks, folks. Take care. We'll see you on Friday. This is Tom and Heidi signing out with Jackson Browne's solo album. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
There's no time to find you now. While your walls are burning and your towers are turning, I'm gonna leave you here and try to get down to the sea somehow. The road is filled with homeless souls, every woman, child, and man. But the sisters of the sun are gonna rock me on the water now. Rock me on the water, sister, will you soothe my fever brow? Rock me on the water, I'll get down to the sea. Thank you. Oh, people, look among you. It's there your hope must lie. There's a seabird above you, gliding in one place, like Jesus in the sky. For the Father, but the sisters of the Son are gonna rock me on the water now. Rock me on the water. Sister, will you soothe my fever breath? Hey, rock me on water. Maybe I'll remember. child's drawings left there on the table, and a woman's silk lying on the floor. And I would keep them here if I were able. The locker safe behind this open door. Suddenly, it's so clear to me that I'd asked her to see what she may never see. And now my kind words find their way back to me. There's a train every day leaving either way. There's a world got a ways to go, and I'll soon believe.